Hi everyone, welcome to Smashing Self-Sabotage. I'm super excited to be back on this call and just getting back to it. I know that self-sabotage is something that happens to everyone. And it's just knowing what to do instead of self-sabotage. There's different ways that we all sabotage ourselves. And I know a lot of the people listening are probably sabotaging themselves with food, maybe alcohol. Some other likely culprits are medications, sugar, caffeine, substances outside of ourselves that we're reaching for to try and make ourselves feel better. But really what ends up happening is that it's a reactive state, and we end up feeling worse afterwards because we overdo it. So thank you so much for being here, for listening to this call. This is actually going to be the first call that I release out to the public. So this is kind of like a podcast. I'm going to put this on my blog afterwards, and yeah, I'm just going to see the response and see who shows up and who can relate and go from there. So smashing self-sabotage, or SSS for short, is a coaching call series specifically designed to smash self-sabotaging patterns, thoughts, and beliefs that are holding us back and keeping us from living the life we truly desire, believing in ourselves and what we have to offer, reaching our goals, feeling the way we want to feel most of the time, loving ourselves unconditionally, and experiencing deep and personal relationships with others. This call requires a commitment to transformation, coupled with a deep desire to heal any form of self-sabotage that you may be experiencing. You will begin to get crystal clear on what it is that's making you sabotage, how those actions make you feel, and then be able to shift to a better feeling story. Here are the four underlying tenets of smashing self-sabotage. Number one is what you resist persists. I know I've felt this in my life where I didn't allow myself to eat certain foods, or I didn't allow myself to do certain things that I actually wanted and desired. And so it just came on even stronger and just continued to grow and persist and have this force behind it. So instead of resisting, we're actually going to go with the flow. We're going to trust ourselves and our bodies and take a deep breath, take a step back, and allow ourselves to feel pleasure, to feel joy, to trust our intuition, and know that we're making the right decision in the moment for ourselves. Because when we focus on the way that we feel, then it's really hard to self-sabotage. I feel like self-sabotage comes in, it happens when we're not focusing on the way we feel. We're stuck in our head and our thinking. And then we listen to those negative thoughts, which make us react in a negative way. All right, number two is what you focus on, believe in, think of will become true. Very closely tied into the first one. What you focus on, believe in, think of will become true. The first example I think of is when I was in the midst of my binge eating episodes, and all I could think about and focus on and think of was how bad of a person I was, how stupid I was, that I couldn't control myself around food, that I had no discipline, that I was a bad person for being this way. And I just beat myself down more and more and more. And so those thoughts became my reality, and just it was a downward spiral. spiral. So it wasn't until I actually went to yoga teacher training and started to get in my body again and focus on my breath, focus on relaxation, being in the moment, being present, and changing my thoughts, deciding to change my thoughts, I began to spiral upward. And that's what really lifted me from the struggle of binge eating, was learning more about the psychology of eating, of life in general, and how, I mean, I heard this all the time growing up from my mom. It's like, think positive thoughts. Think of thoughts that make you happy. Because if you think of thoughts that make you sad, if you think of thoughts that put you down, that will become your reality. Number three is, there is always a deeper meaning to your suffering. So you may not be even struggling with food right now. It may be something else. It may be your primary relationship. It may be your career. It may be money. All of this stuff is really intrinsically related. And we all have our own ways of suffering. And instead of feeling like a bad person for suffering, because we all go through struggles in life, let's actually like look at the deeper meaning to our suffering. And I really think that, like, for me, I went through all of these challenges with food and body to come out on the other side and be a coach and to be able to help other women through this. Like, I truly believe, like, that was the deeper meaning behind it, is that, hey, you have to go through this shit because you're a strong-ass woman and you're a leader and you're going to be able to help so many people out of this. Not only that, but it taught me how to take care of myself. And it taught me to not be such a fucking perfectionist and just go with more of the flow, be more feminine. I was very much in my masculine, where I was lifting heavy weights. I was trying to get straight A's. I was over-exercising. I was pushing everything. I was comparing myself to the numbers. And those are all very masculine type approaches to weight loss, to health and fitness. Now I do take more of a feminine, I try and find a balance. I think finding a balance between the two is important. Like, you can't just ignore the masculine. But inviting in more of the feminine, as far as slowing down, like really noticing, like, what gives you pleasure? What makes you feel good? Don't feel like you have to do something that makes you feel bad. Like, don't feel like you have to do exercise that sucks. Don't feel like you have to eat kale at every single meal when that's not your true heart desire. Number four is, no one else can help you but you. Ultimately, you have to make the choice. You have to decide that I want this to change. There's like this beauty in hitting rock bottom, where you get so fed up with the way that your life is going that it brings you forward like a complete 180. Like, I feel like my life is a complete 180 of what it was several years ago. But no one else can help you but you. It's a really hard thing to see someone who you love struggle and to suffer. And you can try and help them as much as possible, and you can be supportive. But if they don't want it, if they don't want to change, then they're not going to. And there's this part of accepting that too, which is really hard. But if you're the one listening to this, struggling, suffering, and it's self-imposed, a lot of a lot of our suffering, unfortunately, is self-imposed. Like, we make ourselves suffer even more than the suffering that just goes along with life and human experience. So if you're the one that's on that down slope, we have the ups and downs in life, and if you're at the very bottom right now, you have a choice. You have to decide that you want to change, and that probably means that you need help. You need to surrender and find that person, find that resource that is going to help you. That find someone that's already been through what you've been through, and you're, you know, either listening to this or listening to something else or reading this book, whatever it is. Find that connection and don't be afraid to ask for help. There's no way I would be where I'm at today without receiving help, receiving wisdom, getting the information, the knowledge, the wisdom that I needed in order to heal. So there are a few resources that I've talked about in past Smashing Self-Sabotage calls that you can definitely reference to throughout this call series, and I'll make sure and tag these so you can get these if you want them. The first one is the book called Taming Your Outer Child by Susan Anderson. And it's such a good book. Thank you, Susan Anderson. It talks about the inner child, the outer child, and the adult self. You may have heard of the term your inner child before. Pretty common terminology in the self-help world. I first heard of the terms inner child, outer child, and adult self in the book Taming Your Outer Child by Susan Anderson. This book truly was a game changer for me, and it helped me identify that little girl within me that was just searching for self-love, like, just take care of me. Like, quit self-sabotaging. Like, why are you doing these things to me? Like, why are you eating so much food that it makes you feel sick? Why are you drinking so much alcohol that you numb out? Why are you doing these things? Why are you over-exercising to a point of complete exhaustion? Why are you doing these things to me? That's what my inner child was saying to me. And then the outer child is the, like, teenager or the rebel within us all. My outer child at the time was actually the act of binge eating, binge drinking, you know, going out and partying. Any time that I let that sneaky negative voice come out, like, you're not good enough, you don't know what you're doing, you picked the wrong job, you're not in the right place, you're not at the right time, everything was wrong. Outer child is the actual act of self-sabotage. So whether it be binge eating, binge drinking, procrastination, so not doing anything, letting fear blindside you, get in the way, staying in a job that no longer serves you, staying in an abusive relationship, anything like that is like this rebel thing. Well, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do this because I can. And then the adult self is usually weak in any form of self-sabotage that's starting to come up, because it's just letting the outer child run rampant and do whatever the heck he or she wants. And the adult self's just like, well, that's who they are. What can you do, right? And so, most of the time, the adult self needs to be like, hey, let me just cue you in here. The things that you are choosing to do, those actions that you are taking, are actually hurting you. Do you understand that? Do you realize that this strategy of yours isn't working anymore? Do you understand that binge eating makes you feel worse than if you were to just allow yourself to eat whatever it is that you desire and give yourself full permission to eat it and enjoy it? Your inner child is that little girl within you that still has some old wounds or traumas that hurt her. The inner child still needs a lot of nurturing and tending to from the adult self. She needs that adult self to hear her out, to listen to her cry, and give her a big hug when she's hurting. And the outer child, like I said, is that rebel that acts out in ways that don't make sense to really anyone but her. And then the adult self is the grown up in the whole situation. So I really love and enjoy that book. And in past calls, we've done some framework around that, some different resources and exercises that are actually in the book. So please feel free to grab that book if you're interested in learning more about the inner child, outer child, and adult self. The second resource is the six root causes of self-sabotage. And this is a resource taught to me by Chris Ward of AbundantYogi.com. And this is where I received my lifestyle design coaching program, coaching certification. And this resource, I love going over this resource. Let me just say the six main causes of self-sabotage. The first one is stuffing or ignoring a negative emotion, which I can totally relate to as far as food, right? When we're feeling a really hard emotion, we're really sad, or maybe we're really tired, drained, we're just not taking care of ourselves, we're trying to stuff it or ignore it down, stuff it down with food. More food, more food, more food. At the time, as you're doing it, you're starting to feel like it somehow is serving you, it's giving you a release, but afterwards you always feel worse, and it's that form of self-sabotage. The second one is too much hustle and not enough self-care and connection. And I can totally relate to this one as far as being a business owner, being an entrepreneur. You get going and you feel like you constantly have to be working. It's hard to put things away. You have all these different deadlines. You're trying to create new content and stay on top of your Instagram and all the different social medias, and then get back to your email and return phone calls, yada, 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 just keeps on going. And when you don't slow down enough, and I'm sure moms can relate to this too, parents can relate to this with kids, too much hustle, not enough self-care and connection. We have got to create this space in our life where we get to slow down and be a kid again. Do things that we enjoy. Be outside. Do things that aren't related to making an income or building a business or creating this empire. We have to do things just for that inner child, that that little girl or little boy within us that refuels us, that recharges our batteries, connects us back to our bodies, connects us back to our soul. And then we're able to move from that filled up place. And really, that's when we really create the good content. That's when we really have the great ideas, is when we're just out being a human, just for fun, doing things that we actually enjoy. The third one is trying too hard to measure up, then zooming too far out when setting goals. Ooh, I think this is a really good one for business owners, really anyone that sets goals. When you zoom too far out, you get overwhelmed. When you're looking at the end of the alphabet all the way to Z, when you're at point A, overwhelming. Look at all of those letters in front of there. Look at all of those steps that I have to take before I get to where I want to be. So I encourage you to look at, instead of focusing on that point Z, to focus on point B. Focus on that next baby step forward that is a slight improvement of where you're at now. So then it's not overwhelming. And it still feels good, still feels really good to make that small step forward, but it's not so daunting. And then it actually gets accomplished. Because the second part of this is trying too hard to measure up, which is really, you know, comparing ourselves to others, which never leads to anything positive. So stay in your own lane, stay in your story, and keep moving forward slowly, slowly and efficiently. Not like, doesn't have to be so fast. Great. Number four is blending work time with leisure time, aka living in the gray zone. This is a great one. I actually feel like I do really good on this. Like, I have my Google Calendar up, and when I have shit scheduled, it's scheduled. It's in there. It's going to happen. And then after work, I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm ready to make dinner. I'm ready to hang out and just be. I feel like I do a pretty good job with this, but at the same time, I know there's times where I am blending work time with leisure time, and I'm kind of living in that gray zone. And without clear boundaries, we'll feel as though we're living in this sway where we feel foggy and unproductive and probably a little guilty. So make sure that when you're working, keep working, stay focused on that next point B. But when you're not working, don't work. Go back to play. Go back, do those things that light you up, that self-care and connection that we talked about earlier. And totally leave the business, the idea, the schooling. Just leave it. Just drop it for now and let yourself be fully present. Number five is resisting like crazy because we're believing our own made-up stories. OMG. This one I can totally relate to. And it's when we have that, like, self-saboteur in our head telling us that we're not good enough, telling us that we don't make enough money, that we need to lose weight, that we're just never good enough. And we're believing all of those made-up stories that aren't even real. We're making them real, but they don't have to be. And they make us resist and resist, and then nothing gets done. And what I want you to do instead is journal through those. Work through those effed up stories, that anything that doesn't feel good, honestly, any idea that doesn't feel good isn't true. There is going to be another truth to that story that is going to feel better. For example, one thing that I'm working on right now, a belief. Okay, so growing up, I always heard money doesn't make you happy, which is it's a really sweet idea, right? Like, money doesn't make you happy. It's about family. It's about being just living in the moment. It's about living the simple life, which I totally believe in all of those things still. But on the other side of that, I know there's a better feeling story that could be created from that, such as money allows me to create freedom in my life, which gives me happiness, because something that is really important to me is freedom. Freedom in my schedule, freedom in my eating, freedom in my choice to exercise the way I want, freedom to take vacations when I need to, when I want to, freedom to go on retreats. So that's really important to me. And I know without money, I cannot do all of those things. So that's just something that's just like a personal share right there. Making new stories. So good. The last one is trying to manage what isn't ours to manage. And I talked about this a little bit earlier. Staying in your own lane, staying in your zone, staying in your story. Don't let the drama of other people take away your energy, because it is an energy like leaker. Like, you gotta protect your energy. You gotta manage what is yours to manage. You gotta focus on what you can control. You can't control the weather. You can't control anything in God's creation, God's business. You can't manage maybe a sibling or your kids. You can be there for them. You can support them. But if they're not showing up, if they don't want it, then, and you're still holding on to their story, you can't manage what isn't yours to manage. All it's doing is creating stress in your existence when it doesn't have to be. And so really, it's a hard thing to do. It is. Think exercising big trust and not grasping for certain areas where you think it should be this way or it has to be this way. Actually, you can just exercise trust in that whatever's going to happen is supposed to happen. Yeah. Because make peace with these things that you don't feel sure about, because obviously they aren't yet yours to know, to figure out, or to know how to even act on. So being able to detach and to just let them be. This last note is that we are not our behavior. And this work around self-sabotage is easier said than done. It is. It's just, it's easier said than done. But I think talking about it is like the first step. Just being open about our own self-sabotaging patterns, because we're not alone in this. Everyone sabotages themselves at some point in their life. Everyone. I like to just take some deep breaths. Just let all of that sink in. So that was our second resource. And then our third resource that I like to talk about in our Smashing Self-Sabotage calls is our Hot Seat Prep form. Now, I'm just going to read through the Hot Seat Prep form. And this is the form that you can fill out. If you're able to make the call live, you can fill this out and receive some one-on-one coaching during the call. It's not required, but a really cool experience when people do end up doing it. And what the first question is in the Hot Seat Prep form is, what do you believe your biggest form of self-sabotage is for you right now in this present moment? Ooh, okay. Should I go through it? I might as well. I mean, I'm totally open and transparent with anyone that follows my work and believes in me. Hell yeah, you can know what I'm struggling with. Like, you can still be a coach. You can still be a healer. You can still be a leader and have to go through things. Like, duh. I'm human. And that's the reason why I got into this work in the first place, right? So honestly, something that's been coming up for me in the form of self-sabotage that I've dealt with in the past too, and I know my family, it's in my lineage, it's in my genes to struggle with this. I grew up around it all the time. I think most people do. It's a pretty common substance that many people lean on, and it's a social thing. It's something that helps us not have to deal with our feelings. It's something that allows us to numb out for a bit. And honestly, I feel like it's a false god. It's this type of connection that it just finally lets us, like, fucking relax and, like, let our guard down and feel like that inner child again. And, like, a lot of times we feel like we have to have this in order to have a good time. I bet you know what I'm talking about. Alcohol. Alcohol. This was such a big thing for me. Like, can I be real with you? I am from Kansas. There's absolutely nothing to do there besides make your own fun, which we definitely did a lot of. And to get in, let that rebel, oh my gosh, like, I'm a definite rebel growing up. And we were just out to try and get into some mischief, but not get in trouble, just have a good time, right? And, like, kind of get our adrenaline pumping. And I honestly started drinking when I was, like, 15, something like that. And I think a lot of kids start drinking around that age. And I never saw it as a problem until food started being connected with it. Now, I never really struggled with that through high school when you're not supposed to be drinking. But when I was younger, I never really struggled with the whole, like, I mean, most people know when you drink a lot, like, you're going to be eating a lot afterwards to try and soak up the alcohol to feel better. You don't have so much of a hangover. And you're just mindless. You're just numbed out. So it's like, I mean, food just tastes, you think it tastes so much better than what it is when you're drunk, right? And that was something that really caused me, that was connected to my binge eating, was my binge drinking. And I would, it was just like, you know those memes that are like, I'm fat because I eat, and I eat because I'm fat. It's that cycle where, like, you drink because you're unhappy, and you're unhappy because you drink. And then you throw an eating in there. It's like, I'm fat because I eat and I drink too much. And I drink too much and I eat too much because I feel fat. It's funny. It's funny now. It's not funny when you're in it. But now, like, so when I was in the midst of my eating disorders, I got, of course, really strict, more masculine. And I was like, okay, I'm sick of this. I hit that rock bottom. I'm like, I'm sick of this. I'm not going to drink. I'm going to run a sprint triathlon. And I'm not going to drink through my whole training. And I think it was like, I don't know. I think I trained for like 12 weeks or something, maybe 8 weeks. I don't know. I found this training program online. And I didn't drink through that, but I still remember binging through that because I was exercising so much. I was over exercising so much that I was just putting so much stress on my body. Then, of course, I was putting so much stress on my mind, and which causes you to eat. And but I remember giving up alcohol at that time, and just thinking that it was going to fix all of my, you know, it was going to fix my eating, and it was going to fix me, and I was just going to be fixed through this whole experience of running this marathon and everything, or sprint triathlon, not a marathon. I, like, kudos to the people that run marathons. That's amazing. I couldn't do it. So now, like, so I went through that and then had semi-success and then went to yoga teacher training after that, because when I did hit rock bottom, it was like, I was able to train so much because I actually quit my corporate job within all of this too, because that's a whole nother story. But I mean, it's part of self-sabotage too, staying in a job that you hate, that doesn't give you balance or freedom or flexibility in your schedule. And you have to stay indoors all the time and you don't get to, I mean, you just don't enjoy it. So I quit that job, and then I started drinking again after the sprint triathlon. And I actually remember in yoga teacher training, I was still struggling with binge eating and drinking. And I mean, I would do like I would ride my bike to yoga teacher training. That was like a 10-mile ride there and back, so like 20 miles a day, and then 8 hours of yoga, and I would get home, and I would actually eat a pretty normal meal most of the time, but then I would drink like a bottle of Merlot, and then I would, you know, stashed these snacks downstairs, and I didn't want anyone to know about it because I was supposed to be this healthy yogi through all of this. And really, I mean, I was still just stuck in that struggle. And I was trying to fix myself, and there was really nothing to be fixed. I just had to decide. I had to choose that I wanted to help myself. And I hadn't done that yet. Just didn't quite know how. I was trying, but I just didn't quite know how. And I still find that alcohol comes up for me every now and then, where, I mean, I drink on a weekly basis. I don't feel like I overdrink or drink to get shit-faced and black out, or, you know, drink so much that it makes me binge. If I do that, I mean, I really don't remember the last time that happened. But if that were to happen, I would just be able to, you know, let that go now and be able to move forward instead of holding on to it. But obviously, like, alcohol is still coming up for me right now because I know it's, like, it's prevalent in my family history. I know it's something that, you know, both my parents have improved from their parents or some of their parents. And so they've healed part of it for sure. But, like, it's going to be up to me to heal it even more. And so that's what I'm focusing on. That's what came up for me as far as, like, my biggest form of self-sabotage right now in this present moment, making sure that I don't overdrink, that I'm not consuming alcohol too much. And the next question is, what have you noticed drives you or triggers you to do this? Are there any trends or patterns that you can begin to see? What I have noticed drives me or triggers me to do this would be stress. When I overdo it, so it's easy for me in my days to still over-exercise because a lot of my work is in yoga, Pilates, strength training, and, you know, I could see up to 6 private clients in a day with a couple different classes. And so I have to make sure that I don't over-exercise. And when I over-exercise, when I get home at the end of the day, I want to be like, oh, I just want a glass of wine. Like, I just want to relax. I'm trying to take care of myself, but it's still, like, connecting it to a glass of wine instead of, you know, go to meditate or, like, go take a bath, which I have been taking more baths, which are lovely. Definitely a great self-care practice. So I think that drives me to do this. I also think that, you know, there are definitely trends of, like, still going out with friends, or, like, friends will come into town and, like, they just want to go out and party and, hey, like, I'm down to have a good time. Like, I love to go out and dance and have fun and be social and dress up and feel pretty. I love that. But you can also make the decision to go out and have fun and dress up and be pretty and not overdrink. It's true. But sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you want to and you don't really know why. It's like, well, I just want to let loose. And that's really your inner child. It's like, I just want to have fun. Like, I don't want to have to think about all the worries of the world right now. I just want to have fun with my girlfriends or my friends. The next question is, if there was an underlying gift in this compulsion, what do you think that would be? What is this self-sabotaging pattern teaching you? Ooh, I love this question. I say this a lot in my private coaching because there is always an underlying gift in the compulsion or the self-sabotaging pattern. It's ultimately it's holding a place in your life for a reason. And it seems like it's like just trying to put you down. But the underlying gift is trying to teach you something, it's trying to teach you how to take better care of yourself. So for me, I think that underlying gift would be awareness of, hey, you have a choice to drink as much as you decide to drink. And there shouldn't be any pressure around how much you decide to drink, and there will be from other people. That's a good underlying gift of like, I don't know if I need to be hanging out with that person as much anymore. Noticing who you're hanging around, who I'm hanging around. I think, and then another underlying gift is what I said earlier, like realizing that this, talking about this and realizing this, having awareness around this is healing my genetic makeup, my genetic background. It's not going to, if I focus on this, if I really want to change this, then if I change it, then my daughter is going to be way more likely, or my child, my future child, I always say girl, but boy or girl, it's okay, either one, or both, they won't have to heal as much from it. I'm not saying that, like, just because you overcome this doesn't mean that, like, your kid won't have the same struggles, but when you know it's in your genes and in your family history, and you bring awareness to it, and it's something that you mindfully change, and then you can talk about that experience to your kids, very powerful, and there's a much more likely chance that they're going to, you know, just have a better approach to it because you are able to heal it and talk about it and be open and vulnerable about it. I think the self-sabotaging pattern of drinking too much is teaching me that you don't need it. You don't need any substance outside of yourself other than healthy food and water, honestly. We drink a lot of different things and eat a lot of different things that we really, when it comes down to it, we don't need it. And so maybe it's teaching me how to simplify, how to be okay with just being okay with, I don't know. And this is what happens when you go through these and you journal, you talk about it. Sometimes it's like, I don't know for sure. But I think it's teaching me how to bring out my inner child and nurture my inner child without having to reach for an addictive substance, to reach for something outside of myself, come back to my body, come back to my spirit, come back to my soul. Like, why am I here? What is my higher purpose in life? And I think sharing this call is my higher purpose in life. I think the work that I do is my higher purpose in life. Yeah, so maybe it's teaching me how to stay connected and stay instead of disconnected. Ooh, that's good. I like that. All right, let's move on to the next question. If there was one thing that you could do different that feels better, lasts longer, and actually improves your well-being, that gives you the same type of relief but in a more loving and freeing way, what would that be? Is there one thing that I could do different that feels better, lasts longer, and actually improves my well-being? That gives you the same type of relief, but in a more loving and freeing way? Yeah. You know, I love doing things. Something that I love about Colorado is that there's actually things to do that don't have to involve alcohol. I love going out on hikes. I love riding my bike along the river. I love going to different yoga studios and taking new classes and meeting new teachers. I really enjoy going to workshops around leadership and money and manifestation and abundance and creating a life you love and investing in myself in those ways. And have you heard, I'm sure you've heard this, where your bank account is a reflection of you? So maybe taking a look at, like, how much money I'm spending on alcohol and being like, how else would I be able to spend this money? How many retreats could I go on? How many yoga retreats could I? Could I go to Bali with this alcohol money? That would be empowering. But the one thing that I could do different is still trusting myself and honoring that, like, hey, you can go out. You can go have fun. You can dress up. You can go out with your girlfriends. You can be social. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do still. But in that permission, you also don't have to drink fast. That pisses me off when people are like, chug, chug. I'm like, I don't want to chug. You don't have to chug. You don't have to take shots. You don't have to drink with the ultimate goal to get shit-faced. You can go out. You can have fun. But I want to encourage myself and anyone listening that, like, the thing you should be focusing on shouldn't be the alcohol. It should be the people you're with, the environment you're in, maybe the music or the game you're playing, or being very present and not wanting to be in a different place, because that's really what alcohol does, is it takes you out of the moment and into another dimension. No, not another dimension, but it takes you out of the moment and kind of numbs you out to what's really going on. Then the last couple questions on the hot seat platform is, what are your questions? And then what do you think the answers will be? So my question to you is, do you relate to this? What stood out to you during this call? Did you learn anything? Was this inspiring to look at your own self-sabotaging beliefs? And then with the last question being, what do you think the answers will be? I think a lot of people are going to relate to this. I think the right people are going to hear this and relate to it. And I believe that people are going to start to wake up to their own self-sabotaging patterns because of this call, because of being able to listen in on, wow, I'm not the only one. Wow, like, coaches struggle. Wow, I never knew that she dealt with that. Like, I'm dealing with that same thing. Or I can totally relate to that in a completely different way. That is the goal, people. Smashing that self-sabotage, that self-saboteur within, and living our best life, being the person we want to be, being the person of our dreams, following through with the actions that are in alignment with our highest self, realizing when we self-sabotage and not beating ourselves up for it, but bringing awareness around it, bringing awareness to it. Super powerful work. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. I hope this was helpful. Hope you enjoyed our time together. And until next month, I hope you can join me on the call live. If not, I'm going to start posting some of these Smashing Self-Sabotage calls on the website when people aren't calling in. And then that will just give us a way to connect, and you can hear a little bit more about my story and how these calls work. And if you're interested in working with me privately, you can go to hungryyoga.com. I have private coaching programs. I focus on mind-body eating, specifically working with women that struggle with binge eating, overeating, emotional eating, negative body image, over-exercise. Then I also have a lifestyle design coaching program where I work with people on creating lifestyle and career changes, whether that's moving from corporate to entrepreneur or just finding more balance in your lifestyle. And in all areas of your life, not just food, but career and physical environment and primary relationships and all the different dynamic aspects of who we are and the lives that we live. So feel free to check those out. And please reach out to me if you have any questions. So good to talk to you all, and I hope to hear from you. Please reach out. Like, that is what gives me the bump, the passion, the fire to keep on going, keep on sharing with you. So please reach out. All right, guys. Have a great rest of your month, and we'll talk soon. Bye.